20-something farm hippies, as well as the old guard of this type, will gather with Amish folk, foodies, and others for the 22nd year in a row as the Pennsylvania Association of Sustainable Agriculture Conference gets underway. This alternative farm show kicks off Wednesday in State College. Ben Hewitt kind of falls into the youngish farm category. He runs a family plot in Vermont and writes about sustainable ag. He's a speaker at the conference, and he's on the phone now. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Jennifer.
Ben, what kind of farm do you have, and is it hopping today?
Yeah, we've got quite a menagerie. We run about, depending on the time of year, anywhere between like a half dozen and maybe 10 cows/beef animals. Right now we have just a couple of pigs, but we do about 10 to a dozen pigs annually. We have a pick-your-own blueberry patch. We have a few sheep that are bordering on pets. So it's, everything we do is on a very modest scale. It's hyper-diversified. And we really view the farm as sort of a sort of living entity ecosystem unto itself.
You've written two books, The Town That Food Saved, and the other is Making Supper Safe. Do you have a one-minute elevator speech about The Town That Food Saved?
Sure. The Town That Food Saved sort of chronicles the efforts of a group of sort of agripreneurs, I term them, in the town of Hardwick, Vermont, to sort of implement a regionalized food system. And it also looks at, the dairy farmers, the itinerant slaughterers in the region, and just sort of looks at how all of these people are contributing to this system.
We are well into the era of food writer Michael Pollan, writer of Omnivore's Dilemma. So there's a lot of writing out there about sustainable agriculture and food. It must be tough to bring something new on this topic to the table. So tell me what are you bringing to the Ag Conference?
Yeah, that's a great, I really appreciate that question, actually. When I'm looking at all of these issues around food and I'm sort of wondering, why do the same challenges sort of keep cropping up? And this is particularly sort of poignant in relation to local food systems where, just the issues of accessibility and producer viability keep coming up over and over and over. And, my recognition that food and the way we look at food and the way we interact with food has a lot to do with the way we interact with money. It has a lot to do with our political system. It has a lot to do with our healthcare system. And so, what I'm trying to do or what I'm interested in doing right now in my work is, not so much food specific, but trying to look at sort of the underlying factors that created the food systems that we have today.
Speaking of, money, I was seeing some coverage after your book came out, The Town That Food Saved, about some, I think they were high school students in their English class studying your book, and a kid who worked at a local grocer and was like, no, this book is just way off base because people can't afford that.
Well, I mean, in one sense, he's absolutely right. In another sense, I would argue that people can't afford not to afford it.
We should say that it we're talking about is, buying locally.
Right. Yeah, I assume that's what you meant. Yeah. And I have to say, one of the reasons I was so intrigued with looking at the town of Hardwick is because it's a town of sort of below average financial means. So the median income in Hardwick is about $15,000. And so, when you have a situation where you've got a parent who's working two jobs, just to keep any food on the table, how do you tell that person, really it'd be so much better for you and for your community if you were buying this sort of local, sustainable, organic
artisanal cheese.
Artisanal cheese, right, for $20 a pound. That's a really hard pill to swallow. I guess that, and it's one of the reasons, again, that I'm sort of compelled to look beyond the food system at sort of the underlying factors that make that person unable to support a regionalized food system that makes a lot of sense in so many ways.
And I have to play this clip from Portlandia. Do you know the one?
Okay.
I'm going to play?
No, I don't.
About
I don't
the chicken?
I'm not familiar with the show,
you
but yeah.
You are not? Okay. All right. You have to listen to this.
Okay.
If you have any questions about the menu, please let me know.
I guess I do have a question about the chicken, if you could just tell us a little bit more about it.
The chicken is a heritage breed, woodland-raised chicken that's been fed a diet of sheep's milk, soy, and hazelnuts.
Okay, this is local?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. I'm going to ask you just one more time, and it's local?
It is.
Is that USDA organic or Oregon organic or Portland organic?
It's just all across the board organic.
So,
all right, I get the point. I get the point. Yeah, you know, and it's a great clip because it exemplifies exactly one point I would really like to make. You know, the reason we need all of these labels is because we have so little transparency in our food system. Mm. And you really only need that sort of level of labeling and regulation when you don't have transparency. And so all of these labels, you know, they arise out of this place of this tremendous separation between us and our food. So we come up with all these terms to sort of, you know, try to make ourselves feel good about what we're putting into our bodies. And, you know, that's important. I mean, you're putting this stuff in your body, right?
Mm-hmm.
To my way of thinking, and again, this is a very difficult thing to say to someone who's struggling to put any food on the table. But, you know, food is the last thing that should be cheap.
Okay. Thank you so much for talking with me.
Sure.
This is the Allegheny Front. I'm Jennifer Shveta-Jordan. Ben Hewitt is on the phone. He's a writer and farmer in Vermont, and he'll be speaking at the Pennsylvania Association for Sustainable Agriculture Conference on Saturday. More information at AlleghenyFront.org.